Button.
It's 2:02 p.m.
Okay, we call to order the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission. It's 2:02. We'll say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. Thank you. Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Stadnum. Sorry, he is absent today. Commissioner West.
Present.
Commissioner Snyder.
Present.
Commissioner Flowen. Present. And Chair Aldridge.
Here. Okay, item number two. Can I get approval of the agenda? I'll make some motion. Can
I'll
get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Can I also get approval of actions from the meeting of September 10th, 2025? Item number three. Tom, can I get a second? Okay. Okay, number four, the workshop, status of the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission. Melanie?
Yeah, I can take this. I'm Melody Bailey. So we've had a lot of discussion over the last few years or so about the status of the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission now that the bonds have been paid off. And so tomorrow, staff will be taking a dissolution of the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission, to dissolve the commission to the Mojave Water Agency Board tomorrow. So I wanted to bring that before you to bring your attention to it. So I'll walk through this. We have some historical context on why we're proposing this, the current challenges with the way the commission is currently set up and their purpose. We do have legal in the room as well. And then the solution that we are proposing, legal's consensus and the timeline, and then recommendation that staff is taking to the board. So in your agenda packet for today and the one that's on the board agenda for tomorrow, there are a couple of different attachments. So there is the agreement to dissolve the commission, which was drafted by legal. There are some draft bylaws for what we are proposing for the Morongo Basin Advisory Committee, which is very similar to TAC, which is how we will move forward or try to move forward. So they're draft right now because we are also, we have a longstanding IDM managers group who is made up of all of Joshua Basin, Bighorn Desert View, High Desert Water District, the county, and Mojave Water Agency managers. And so those managers make up the IDM managers, and there's a longstanding working group amongst those managers. And so in the new year, those managers will need to work through the bylaws to have that first meeting. And then also what I am proposing is the operating protocols and shared goals, which is essentially just a charter for how they intend to work together, what their purpose is more clear moving forward, and how we're going to continue operations on the pipeline. Excuse me. So the historical context is that the 1991 agreement for construction, operation, and financing of the Morongo Basin Pipeline, there's a section in there, which is section 22, which formed the commission. And that purpose of the commission was to review, evaluate, and approve the items related to the construction financing of the pipeline. So now that the bonds are paid in full and MWA has assumed the maintenance of the pipeline, the purpose has thus been satisfied for the commission. And so on the right on this screen, this is taken from that initial agreement, which was the layout of how things intended to work for the Morongo Basin pipeline. So the commission would always feed into the MWA board of directors. So we're still proposing that same kind of opportunity for transparency moving forward. So the current challenge is that the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission is in fact a Brown Act body, and there are constraints with being a Brown Act body. So that requires a 72-hour agenda posting. There's strict quorum requirements and meeting procedures, and there's a high administrative burden for what we now consider routine maintenance and coordination amongst all of the parties. And this also limits some flexibility. We like to go into the Morongo area to have these meetings with you folks, and it creates some challenges for our staff trying to administer that, make sure recordings are posted onto our website for that transparency and organization. So, and this structure, it no longer fits the operational reality that we currently have. So by dissolving the commission, the proposed path is through a staff-led approach, which I briefly mentioned, utilizing the IDM manager's working group and a technical advisory type committee, or a Morongo Basin advisory committee, routing formal items through the MWA board. So it's going to look something like this. So the action we're proposing is to dissolve the formal commission, and then the new structure is to leverage the IDM manager's working group, route those formal items through TAC and the Morongo Basin Advisory Committee, and then to the MWA board for action, and then it can also go to the other respective boards of the other parties as necessary. So the benefits of this is to maintain regional collaboration and communication and transparency for the area. We want to remove administrative red tape, but we also want to increase our operational flexibility to be able to allow us to meet down in the Morongo area, meet here, and allow more flexibility for how we're having those types of meetings. So there was some legal consensus on this. So MWA legal team did lead meetings with the legal counsel from all five participating agencies. And the effective date that we're proposing is December 1st, with this being the last Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission meeting. And this is all contingent upon the MWA board approving the agreement tomorrow. And the goal is to adopt this agreement and to start beginning that transition in the new year and start having these less formal meetings that I've presented in previous slides into the new year. And so this is going to be the recommendation that is going to the board tomorrow, which is to ask them to approve the agreement to dissolve the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission and to authorize the board president to execute that agreement. At that time, that agreement would then go to the other parties, High Desert Water District, Joshua Basin, the county, and Bighorn, for them to also get signatures. So with that, I can take any questions.
Is the process is so we can avoid the Brown Act, and then we can meet at the Tactical Advisory Committee. Is that what, that's what the plan is?
Yeah, there's some element of avoiding the Brown Act, but it's also for flexibility to have a quorum so that if commissioners are not available, board members are not available, staff can be directed. So it can be general managers, it can be higher level executive staff or senior leadership staff who can come to these meetings, and we can still have a quorum to get business done effectively.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Adnan. I'm online. Sorry, I really wish I could have made it in person today. Are you able to hear me? Sorry.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make a comment too. I think Melody summarized it really well. We have, while you know, certain challenges like running a meeting as a Brown Act, consistent with the Brown Act, is challenging. We still have the intent to run things transparently. So I call it kind of like Brown Light, Brown Act Light, and that is we do agendas, we post it online, we make it available to as many people that can show up as possible, but really removing the restrictions associated with meeting so that we can ensure we can meet. A couple times, you recall, we had to sort of open and then close the meeting down, and then we still presented informational materials. And so really in conversation with the managers in the Morongo Basin, this sort of approach addresses still having a forum for discussion on matters related to the Morongo Basin, the Morongo Basin pipeline, and needs along there, but consistent with enabling us to do it in a way that Melody described. So the intent is still there to continue this collaboration and also be transparent about it. But this sort of solution provides us much more flexibility in terms of how that gets done. This has been, in my time with the agency, Mojave Water Agency, this has been one of those really important forums for discussion. We've gotten a lot of really great feedback and disseminated a lot of good information. As we embark on master planning at the agency, we will continue to engage all of you and the stakeholders and Morongo Basin parties. This sort of change allows us to be able to restructure it in a way that's more useful to us and more flexible going forward, which will be very helpful as we go through the next few years of planning. But anyway, I wanted to say I really appreciated my time being part of this commission and your participation. Sorry I couldn't be there in person once again.
Go ahead, Marina.
All right. I guess my first comment is really a request for Sarah to step up. I think Sarah and I are the only managers here that have tried to work through the process of getting to here to this point, looking at many gyrations of how to do it, trying to stick to a key issue, and I'm going to try to speak from the dais here as the Mojave Agency representative for the Morongo Basin, more than from the Bighorn Desert View Water Agency's perspective, which Commissioner Aldridge could do. But the key issue I hear is the Morongo Basin wants water in its pipeline, and it wants a viable pipeline to deliver that water. And so there was a lot of discussion about how to secure that core need and want for our constituents who will always say, what did I buy with my money, right? And so I thought I'd invite Sarah up if she wanted to speak at all to how much time and effort went into this. And I want to thank, it went through various staff. I think you and I are the only ones still breathing. So if you want to say anything, you may. If you don't, you can decline.
Can you come to the mic,
yeah,
please?
Step up to the mic. This is our last one we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Sarah Johnson, Joshua Basin Water District. I believe we started this project 2+ years
COVID.
Ago. We sat in many rooms with big whiteboards and tried to disseminate and take apart the entire contract and figure out, what should happen next. And finally, I think we came to a resolution. One of the biggest things that I wanted to see is that the Morongo Basin still had a seat at the table. This is a different way of doing it. This commission at this point has served its purpose since 1991, and it's just an evolution into the next phase. And I appreciate that our comments were taken to heart, that we still get to have some sort of committee or group that we meet, and we really enjoy always hearing about your guys' presentations and how that impacts us, and we can bring that back to our boards. I still think that the board members should be invited to those meetings so they can see that perspective as well. And I'm happy with where this is going. I'm glad we're still standing and breathing. So thank you for asking me up.
Bet. So also just in line with that, the goal is We have to have a place of collaboration and problem solving for our issues in the Morongo Basin, because they are vastly different from the rest of the Mojave region, which has the Mojave River adjudication, its water master, and many, many, many resources at its disposal to do that job. And we're just frankly and probably gratefully not a part of that. So thank goodness the Mojave River did not connect with the Morongo Basin. With that, I just thank you for all the hard work of staff and the ideas. And just keep in mind, we want a place to collaborate. We look to Mojave Water Agency to be the leader in that, as the agency's staff and boards ebb and flow, to keep continuity for us in that, and to keep that water in that pipeline and keep that pipeline functional. Thank you. That concludes my comments.
Any other comments?
Tom.
One of the things, the primary thing here that I'm considering is, oversight of the activities of the Mojave Water Agency and indeed their board. And I see that there is plenty of that. The general manager of this agency serves at the pleasure, I think the term is, of this board, not this one, but the Mojave Agency Board of Directors, and of which consists all of the participating agencies in the pipeline project. So I just see overlapping visibility here and the ability to make immediate corrections if any supervisors or general managers go astray, per se. Another thing to consider, too, is that you could say that this new agreement is better than nothing, because as of the original agreement, page 41, there is no longer anything that authorizes us to be up here as a commission right now. And so, it doesn't sound good to say what is proposed is better than nothing. But what we have now actually is nothing. You could say or argue that we can't even be sitting up here now because the contract that was signed in something like 91 is not in effect anymore, and it hasn't been for months since the bond was paid off, which was $66,500,000, by the way. It's a big deal. So I don't see that we're losing any visibility, any oversight, any of that kind of stuff by moving to something which is essentially a citizens advisory council. By the way, I have it in mind that is there a requirement for who sits on this new committee that's going to be assembled?
The draft right now has staff, so the IDM managers would rotate on that. And that's something we have to discuss. So the reason we don't have board members serving on that committee is because of Brown Act considerations. So it's still something that the IDM managers working group still needs to work through. And we've proposed in our draft some ideas of how we can make that work.
So I'm for it. I don't have any issues with migrating into this new thing, especially since we have nothing now, I would argue. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And yes, I agree. Well, at least we'll have something with our, whatever we formulate with this new committee at the TAC. Is it going to be possibly before the TAC meeting?
Yeah, so the idea is to have flexibility with the Morongo Basin Advisory Committee and TAC, because all of you are members on TAC as well. So to have you drive all the way out here for TAC and then a Morongo Basin Advisory Committee, if we can couple some agenda items onto one and save you time, if you're coming out here, great. And then when we come out to your area, it just gives us more flexibility.
Okay. And with that, any other comments?
No. Are we doing this now or later?
Item seven, we are going to be honoring the commissioners, just as a FYI.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, Doug is going to be giving one last operations to this commission, and then other operations updates are always at our planning, engineering, and operations meetings, and then he'll still be willing to come and present to the Morongo Basin Advisory Committee at any time, so.
Good afternoon, everyone. We'll start off our update with Antelope Siphon. This is the beginning of the Morongo Basin Pipeline, where we've been performing our moss screen maintenance, and we also cleaned out the trash rack. That's the actual connection to the aqueduct. And we've also been dealing with some excessive amounts of moss. Thankfully, with the cooling temperatures, that's kind of subsided, so it's not as much of an issue as it's been the past couple of months. So here's some pictures for you to give you a better understanding of what the moss screen looks like on the inside. So we got one of the operators that are in there, and they're doing some spray manifold nozzle inspections, making sure that the spray nozzles aren't clogged up. And those are an important part of the process because they spray off the screens here. Each screen panel is connected to one another through these chains. There's chains on this side and on the other side of the screen panels. And then those chains are connected to large sprockets that are at the top of the traveling screen or moss screen. They're kind of interchangeable in name. And one at the bottom of the moss screen. And then what we do is we rotate these screens, and as they're being rotated, the spray nozzles spray off any kind of debris that may be collected on them. And then the picture in the middle here, this is our crew cleaning the trash rack there at the beginning of the Morongo Basin Pipeline. You can see these grates here at the bottom. Sometimes they get clogged up with whatever, 2x4s, fish, algae, or we call it moss. And every now and then we got to get in there and clean them off. So it's a pretty delicate process. It's one that we have to be very cautious of safety concerns because, I mean, basically the operator's in the aqueduct. So we have to make sure that he's got his life vest on, that he's tied off to the safety railing that's mounted to the priming station structure. And then we also have a tagline going on to him just in case something happens and he goes in, we're able to retrieve him. And then we have a spotter that keeps an eye on him the whole time. And then we have additional operations staff there as well in case we need to assist with anything else. So just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on in this whole area here. So we have the aqueduct here, and then diagonally here, this is what Michael was standing on top of. These are the trash racks. Beneath those trash racks, we have three siphon pipes, one 24-inch and two 30-inch. And this is how we siphon water out of the aqueduct and then convey it down the Morongo Basin Pipeline. And then up in here, this is a part of the siphon equipment that we use to create that siphon. And that's all stored here inside this priming station structure here. And then the picture on the right, this is just kind of an example of the excessive moss that we've been dealing with here. For the most part, we can mitigate it through increasing the amount of time that we allow the screens to rotate, the amount, increasing the amount of times per day that they rotate, but sometimes it gets to where it's so much that we have to end up just breaking it out by hand.
Does it vary by season?
It all depends, really, Marine Commissioner West. Yeah, it all depends. It could be, we can go a whole year with nothing, or we can go months with stuff like this. It makes it really hard. We've had all kinds of different types of moss that we've had to deal with, real stringy stuff, you know, stuff that's like pretty much, it looks septic almost. It's real black. It just all depends. Yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason to it. Okay, moving on to Johnson Valley Pump Station. Last meeting, I brought to your attention the panel upgrade there and what we've been doing with that. This pump site is very critical to our operations, so it's important that all the equipment there is up to date, that it's reliable, that it's, you know, not obsolete or anything in any way. So part of this upgrade is we're going to have an assessment done on the existing equipment, see what needs to be replaced. From that assessment, we're going to go ahead and get a game plan going on replacing all of the whatever the assessment recommends we replace. So we went out, engineering went out for RFP. We got two proposals back. One from Lee and Rowe and one from Auriga. So now staff is in the process of reviewing those RFPs and interviewing the firms, the proposing firms. And then continuing on with Johnson Valley Pump Station, we also did our pump performance testing and panel maintenance. This is something that we do every 6 months. This is in addition to the pump efficiency testing that we do every other year. Some of the things that we check are motor and bearing temperatures. We'll check for vibration. We'll check voltage and amps across the legs of the three phase. Just make sure everything's balanced and amps are within normal operating range. And then while we're at it, we'll go ahead and we'll do some panel maintenance where we'll do a visual inspection of the panel. We'll look for any kind of arc damage. We'll look for melted components, bare wire, you know, things, any abnormal conditions. And then while we're at it, we'll also tighten up all of the wire terminations, make sure that those are nice and tight. And then we'll do any kind of cleaning that needs to be done inside the panel, remove any excess dust or debris, anything that could potentially cause a short circuit. All right, my last part of the update here is going to be talking about deliveries. Joshua Basin Water District's delivery of 1,300 acre feet is ongoing. Estimated completion is going to be towards the end of this month. And then over at High Desert Water District, the delivery of 2,600 acre feet to their Warren Basin turnout was completed October 1st. And their delivery of 300 acre feet to Ames Retchie is ongoing. And I'm open to any questions you have. Thank you.
Just so I can never keep my mind straight on these dates. So when does delivery begin? What month? When you order?
It all depends. Like High Desert Water.
Is it the water year? Is it like October?
Oh, no, it's January. Well, yeah, it's January.
So the 2600 is the annual year?
Yep.
Okay. Thank
yep,
you.
You bet, yeah. Yeah, because it's kind of weird because
contextually,
some districts, they go with the fiscal year, and they have to wait to begin their delivery until July. But like High Desert, they'll start right out of the gate. Yep. You bet.
Any other comments?
One or two. Have we ever analyzed this moss material to find out exactly what it is or if it's safe, anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of. Maybe DWR has done stuff like that. Have we done any analysis on the moss to see what it's made of and all that good stuff?
You did mention, I think, that there's different kinds at different times, too. Which
yeah, it all depends. It just depends on what's growing and the aqueduct at the time, kind of. We've had different types, some stringy, some just regular algae-looking stuff, some black, like septic, like it's coming off the bottom or something. Hmm. It all depends.
So can we assume that the water is healthy because it grows moss so well?
Yeah.
It's alive.
It's nutrient rich. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
On the water quality, we do test the water quality quite often. In the annual Ames Reggie report, you'll see a little blurb about the water quality, and that's the State Water Project has shown to improve water quality in that Ames Basin right there. So the water quality is tested, and then DWR has a municipal water quality investigations team, and they will test the aqueduct and upper in the higher areas of where the State Water Project is, and they'll test it and treat it for different, I forget what it's called, algal blooms and stuff. They'll treat it and stuff like that. So we watch that pretty carefully as well.
So you're saying they treat when there's excessive blooms, possibly?
Yeah, they treat in the Bethany 4 Bay, I know, okay, with copper sulfate. And we've watched that. We had some concerns that copper sulfate would move into our area, but it burns off after so many days. And so the MWQI team, they track that and they monitor it, and they're pretty much on top of it. So.
Well, the last thing I heard was that the water that's delivered to us is considered raw water, and it's not suitable for distribution to our customers in that state. And so we do chlorinate it, and before we pull it out of the ground, the water goes through some 480 feet of sand that filters it. So, and also our percolation rate, I think, from the ponds, recharge ponds, into the ground is extremely fast. The U.S. Geological Survey says they ain't never seen it percolate as fast as ours does. So I'm not trying to imply that you're delivering to us a product that is not usable. Definitely not.
Okay, with that, we should have a public comment. Any items, or do we have any speaker cards filled out that anyone wants to make a comment?
No, there's no speakers at this time.
Anyone on the internet?
No, no one online.
Okay. Item number 7, commissioner's comment. We're good there.
Maybe I should speak up.
Yeah, I've got the highest confidence in this agency here and the job that they're doing. And the only thing that I would want from our future meetings in whatever form we are in is that we continue to get updates that reinforces my opinion that this place is extremely well run, and the rates that we have to pay. I think I just signed a check for $120,000 for a delivery. We're getting, that includes all the upkeep of the system and stuff too. It isn't just the water itself from the state. And I just think it's all being reasonable. And indeed, as it is with our agency, with this agency, you don't necessarily control the costs that you have to pay, and all those costs have to be transferred to the customers, as it is for us. So, well done.
Thank you, Tom. Item number 8, we're going to present a plaque certification appreciation.
Yeah, I think we're going to modify it. We're going to not present the plaque today, but we do have some certificates. So, do you want to do this from down there? We got it. Yeah. Kenny's here, right? We have Kenny. Photos.
We need a mic.
I know. Said they were giving plaque. Just give you a little more freedom, and then I'll call them down.
A brief statement. Okay. 1991 to almost 2006, now 2026. So 35 years for this endeavor, and I've been familiar with the commission for 2 decades now. The commission has served its established purpose, and now we're going to pivot in a new direction. And I just want to say to everyone, you know, let's not lose touch again with what we were able to accomplish together and those before us. It took all of our communities in their total to make the pipeline happen. It wouldn't have happened if only one of our communities had tried it. You're welcome, High Desert Water District. But it proves a slogan that I recently adopted, and it's progress moves at the speed of trust. And in order to honor and memorialize those efforts in building trust and getting us this far, I'm honored to present each of the entities with a certificate of appreciation for their participation. And I think it's important that we do that. We want to do that individually. We want to do them all at once. Okay, all right. So, who's first? Okay, High Desert Water District. And I, unfortunately, Commissioner Statham is not with us. So, Tony, why don't you come up and accept us on behalf of... Where do you want to do the show, Kenny? Okay. All right, so I'll read this one. In recognition of your invaluable contributions to the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission, whose work has strengthened our communities and safeguarded vital resources, your dedication, expertise, and commitment have been instrumental in fulfilling the mission of the commission. And as the commission concludes its
service... we lost room audio. I don't know if it's possible to get it back online.
Okay, well, stand by. Let us know if you can hear now, Adnan. Maybe it's this mic? Nothing like going out with a bang.
Can you hear us now?
Adnan, can you hear us now? Hey, can you hear us now? Oh.
Unmuted.
Can you hear us online now?
We can. Thank you for fixing that.
Yes, you can.
All right. Hopefully everybody stuck with us. Sorry about that. There's always technical difficulties in these things. All right. We're going to go ahead and just restart this. We have a certificate of appreciation. This first one is being presented to High Desert Water District in recognition of your invaluable contributions to the Morongo Basin Pipeline Commission, whose work has strengthened our communities and safeguarded vital resources. Your dedication, expertise, and commitment have been instrumental in fulfilling the mission of the Commission. As the Commission concludes its service, we honor your role in shaping the region's legacy and ensuring that its lasting impact. With deepest gratitude, we present this certificate as a testament to your service and the enduring difference you have made. All right, the next one is Joshua Basin Water District. Tom, would you like Sarah to join you? Sarah, what's your photo op choice? We'll do a group photo. I won't read it again. Our certificate of appreciation here is for Joshua Basin Water District. No, you are. You're coming. We'll do two.
Come on.
We'll get all the group photos. For the Pipeline Commission, in its history, we have County of San Bernardino, whose special service area 70 for W1 Landers and W4 Pioneer Town has also benefited greatly from the pipeline. And you're our most bureaucratic partner because you're such a big county, but thank you so much. Now we must have Bighorn Desert View Water Agency, Director Aldridge, Commissioner Aldridge. No, we'll do it this way. No, I'm here as Mojave. Again, I'm trying to be as politically correct as possible because I have Lee here in the room. And okay, Director Aldridge. Thank you for your agency's contributions. You're up here. All right.
Okay, thank you for that, Marina. Okay, item number 9, adjournment. So what do we have for time?
2:48.
And we adjourn at 2:48.
Thank you.
Yep.